This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, rock stars. From Washington, D.C., this is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 59. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey, Master Financial Coach, along with the award-winning Amanda, Corporate In-House Lawyer, Real Estate Agent. We're so grateful you've joined us. Call us, text us, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or our website at rockonthemoney.com. And I got to come up with the TikTok address for everybody.
Yeah.
So I can check that out. How you doing, Amanda?
I am well. I finally made it through the last couple of days of the quarter, and we get a well-earned break. So you know what I'm doing on my days off, Craig?
Wait a minute. You get time off? You don't relax. Yeah.
So my boss is so generous. She gives, we, after the end of the quarter, because we are all completely drained and about to lose our minds, we shut down our legal department for 2 days after each quarter end.
Oh, wow.
Some mental health days. So we shut down, except that one of us has to be like on call for emergencies.
Well, yeah.
And then we, of course, have the 4th of July holiday this weekend.
Yes.
And then our company also decided that July 6th is also a company holiday because of the whole COVID-19 stressing everyone out working from home. So it's a mental health day.
July 6th, that's a Monday, right?
It is Monday.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So we have the 3rd is off because that's generally a company holiday for 4th of July. 4th of July is on Saturday. And then Monday we have off as well. So I am spending my time doing 13 hours of online training and preparing for an exam that I'll take on Monday for my privacy certification.
Ooh, awesome.
For U.S. privacy laws. Yeah.
I admire the drive.
No days off. You are right. I don't relax.
I don't either. I'm retired. I'm realizing a lot of stuff about me, and I know I got it from my dad, the work ethic thing. And I was just talking about if I had neighbors, but I was talking to imaginary neighbors. Uh-huh. I'm trying to learn to slow down, and it's difficult. And you're going to probably run into that when you, I know you are dreaming about retirement, but when you get there, if all you've known is working, mm-hmm. it's difficult. And
yeah.
I know people find that weird, but to me, it's difficult, and people of my generation, I'm old.
I believe it, because even with a long weekend, sometimes I'm like, okay, now what am I going to do?
Yeah, so I'm trying to slow down, but I'm trying to put a lot of my efforts into creating, because that's what I enjoy, which is the podcast and stuff like that, and driving Amanda crazy with a stupid project.
I mean, I like to plan travel, but clearly that's not an option.
I would do that, but you know. Some states are not listening, and they're ruining it for everybody. Put them in the
Florida's
corner.
Winning right now. We're winning. Apparently, we've decided this
you
is a race to the top.
You are now the worst in the world. Congratulations.
I know.
Texas is coming up, too. So
do you have any plans for 4th of July, Craig?
will I be labeled a loser if I say no?
No.
No. Well, you know what? I can see fireworks right from my house. It's going to sound elitist if I tell you, but right across the highway from me is a country club.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm not a member of the country club. I don't pay for that kind of crap, but they shoot off fireworks every year and I can see it right from my backyard. So, yeah. I mean, it's over the interstate, but you know.
Yeah. I hate 4th of July. And now that I have a dog.
Yeah. Oh, poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't see any professional fireworks, but, you know, neighbors in every neighborhood in America, I believe, are shooting off their own fireworks. And it's not just the 10-minute show that you get it from the, you know, city or whatever. It's like days worth, and it's hours and hours.
Yeah.
And that is the only thing. Well, I shouldn't say the only thing, because Roscoe's afraid of his shadow, but it's the only thing that really, really bothers him, and he won't sleep. And so if he's not sleeping, we're not sleeping.
Yeah. My neighbor's the same way too. No, I get it. When I had a dog, it was like, ugh.
Yeah. He doesn't care about thunder at all, but for some reason the fireworks just freak them out.
I do enjoy, I'm near Washington, D.C. I do like going down there every now and then. But then I realize when there's 500,000 people around me, I personally, because I've responded to disasters, I don't like being in big crowds anymore. So it's great for tourists to come here, and everybody should do it once in their lifetime because it is amazing seeing fireworks of the memorials. Yeah, not this year. So anyway, nope, I'm going to be here probably working on this stuff. And
yeah, well, I'll be locked up studying privacy law, U.S. privacy law. So that sounds exciting.
You know what's exciting is what we got on this show.
Yes, so we have some social media questions from our wonderful social media group. I love the social media questions. We could do a whole show on just social media questions. Keep them coming.
We didn't talk about this. I'm going to hit you up. I think there's a way we could get live phone calls and try it for one episode and see what happens.
Okay.
So we just announce a time that we're going to record, you and I, and we say, this is the time, and we have people call in, and then I'll edit it and put it into a show and see what happens.
Okay.
That should be fun. I'd like to hear from people live.
You're going to have to get me to commit to a time frame well in advance, because here's what happens, people.
Yes.
We have our notes planned for some time. And then because of my work schedule being so erratic that sometimes I work until like 10 o'clock at night, I can't really make plans for recording.
Yeah.
In advance, so all of a sudden I'll message Craig. I'm like, hey, are you ready to record like with 20 minutes notice?
like the day we're recording this now. I knew she was ready to do this in the morning. So I got up early, had my coffee, had everything waiting for her to say.
He's been waiting for hours.
When she'll send me a message, say, are you ready? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, it is like basically like that. So
Saturday morning, I should be able to record. And I was up early, but I didn't message him because I'm like, I want to go to my chiropractor. I got other things I need to do.
And full disclosure, I saw you online, but see, I don't just message her. Sometimes I send you live updates. I want her to be aware of what I'm working on because she's part of the project. Yeah, I just like, wait.
He'll send me like paragraphs of things on Facebook Messenger and I'll reply like with a thumbs up emoji.
And that's all I want. I'm just trying to keep her updated because this is, I'm making her like the 50% part of this. So it's just, because we're in debt with this project. So
happens. He gets like a fraction of my attention during the work week. And then
this is the only time I get your attention. Your husband loans you out to me for like an hour.
Oh, by the way, he has questions for you. And he's like, ask Craig this. I'm like, you ask him. I'm not going to be the middle.
He can message me anytime he wants. He can call me.
Yeah. So either that or he's going to have to be our call in.
He'll be our first call in from the couch.
Yes, from the sofa.
What else we have? We only talked about.
So the topic today is Dave Ramsey-ish and our COVID-19 money plan. And then Savvy Savings today. Oh, you people are going to love this.
Oh, yes.
Monday, we talked about 7 ways to be a savvy shopper. Guess what? Today, we have 7 more ways to be a savvy shopper.
You're welcome, people. That's me, baby. Helping Amanda out. 7 more.
7 more.
See, when an author comes out with a book with a list of things, why they always come out with the next book?
That's more. Right. More. Hey, speaking of which, on Savvy Savings topics, if anyone has any special requests on Savvy Savings, feel free to shoot those over to us.
Absolutely.
And we'll do a segment on it as for you.
Hey, I got a question for you, a social media question.
Okay.
You've been a business owner, and I have too. Here we go. Hello, Craig and Amanda. I have several questions. I'm starting a lawn service business. I'm looking for any tips and advice you might have. I am 21. By the way, I think that's awesome. Someone 21 starting their own business. And I have no experience or family history of owning, operating a business. That's fine. Most people don't. I mowed a fair amount of lawns and made some cash from it when I was in high school and have a decent amount of experience maintaining a golf course, mowing greens. Wow. Mowing the rough and the greens and the fairways, edging, weeding, edging, weed eating, fence.
Oh, weed eating. Yes.
Weed eating, fence lines. So
he's a weed eater. Yeah.
Trimming the fence lines, trimming trees, raking bunkers, as well as mowing different types of machines. Wow. I'm more so concerned about what I don't know. So should I start learning about accounting or take some other classes that might help with operations aspect of it? Are there any book recommendations you may have? I'm starting from zero with this, and I'm willing to fail to learn. I love that he's willing to fail, by the way. I personally believe in that, but I don't want him to fail with our answer. But that is one way you learn. Trust me, I've failed a lot of things. I'm just not exactly sure how wide to set a foundation. Any input? There you go, Amanda.
Sure.
I love this question, by the way. So I love it.
A couple of things. You don't have to be an accounting expert. You should be accounting literate, but the best thing you can do for yourself in your business is to have a team of people. And when I say team, it's not like you have to hire people as employees, but you need to have these resources readily available to you. And here's the team. It would be a financial advisor or tax advisor, because there are going to be a ton of tax implications with your business. So make sure you have a good CPA in your back pocket. You're also going to need a legal advisor, and you're going to say, no, I don't need one. Well, especially with something that has a high risk of injury or damaging other people's property, you're going to want to have a legal advisor, especially during the setup. I would tell you, this is one thing that I cover with in my business law courses, is you need to be very thoughtful about how you're setting your business up as an entity. So sole proprietorship, LLC, corporation. And just because you're the only owner doesn't mean you can't look at those options. So make sure you speak with a legal advisor. They are state to state specific on the advantages and disadvantages of each. But each entity type has pluses and minuses when it comes to both personal liability for your personal finances and tax implications. And also then with how much bureaucratic overhead you have to maintain on a year-to-year basis.
Well, here's a question for you. I see a lot of ads right now, probably because of people are staying at home and losing jobs or starting their own businesses. LegalZoom is on TV all the time and about creating an LLC. What are your thoughts or recommendations regarding LegalZoom? Is that a good way to go? Or
I don't love LegalZoom. It's generic, and sometimes if you don't get it exactly right, all the documents you pay money for through LegalZoom could be completely useless. Like, they could be void or not even valid. So there's a difference between voiding or invalid from the start, which I won't get into here. It's very technical. But I would speak to an actual attorney in your actual state that you're planning to do business in, and don't get sucked into, well, I want to create my small business in Oklahoma, but I hear it's a great idea to incorporate in Delaware. Don't do that unless you've spoken to a professional who has helped you analyze your specific situation and determine that that's the best route. Because I will tell you, it's a tiny fraction of situations where that's the best route.
Where is a good place people can go to get the correct information? Not from Facebook or Twitter.
No.
I mean, how would they know? Didn't you say something about resources like libraries and?
Yes. I would reach out to an attorney for sure. And a lot of them will do initial consultations to help you assess your situation and then give you a price range on what it would take. I would 100% have a legal expert prepare your startup documents.
Is there a good place to find the ratings of these local lawyers to do your business stuff?
So Avvo is a great one. It's AVVO. It's a lawyer directory, and there's online reviews from actual clients.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. We'll put that link in the show notes for everybody. That's great. I could almost do an interview of you for like 15 minutes about starting a business.
Yes.
That might be a segment.
Maybe.
Because a lot of people want to do that, or just selling on Etsy. And you know, that could be a savvy savings. You want to sell your baked goods and stuff on Etsy. What are the things you need to think about if you're going to just do something as simple as that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't concern me as much. If you just have a store on Etsy, I mean, that's less risky.
Okay.
Yeah, but depending on your volume. So if you have higher volume, you still may want to set up a separate business entity for it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You definitely want to keep track of your business expenses and revenue separate from your personal finances, because again, there are a lot of tax implications with that as well.
Cool.
So the other warning I would have is if you do set up your own independent website, is you can run into a lot of legal trouble if you're collecting any type of money or personal information through your website, even if it's just someone's name and email address or name and phone number. There are a lot of new privacy laws that will get you into trouble. So make sure you are consulting with someone who understands what you need to put on your website so that you're not getting hit with fines and lawsuits.
And full disclosure, when we started the rockonthemoney.com website, Amanda hit me up on that immediately because even though I've been a web developer for decades, I wasn't up on the new things where you have to have the opt-in, opt-out right off the bat, knows on the first visit. I didn't have any of that or the proper privacy stuff. Yeah, but
a lot of
stuff.
These sites that you set up through like Etsy and...
Right. They handle that for you.
They have it for you already on it. So,
but if you go your own route, you better be up on the new stuff. It's not what it used to be. And I've been out of the loop on that, even though I develop websites. So,
and it's evolving constantly. Oh,
yeah. Here's another question. When investing in my 401k, is it better to contribute to one mutual fund until I hit a certain amount, or should I rotate when I invested each month to achieve more balanced portfolio?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so let's break this up. This is the compound question. So yes, let's break it up.
Let's peel it up. Let's peel this.
Yeah. So the first question is, so should we contribute to one mutual fund or more? I think if you're a beginner, one mutual fund is perfectly fine in my book, as long as it's a balanced one, like an S&P. It has to be an index fund, right, Craig? So if it's an S&P 500 index fund or anything that would beat that, like, I don't know, XLK, something like that, then if you want to put all your money in that, that's fine by me. Mm-hmm. The second question is rotating or rebalancing each month. That's a hard no for me. This is a long-term investment. Yeah. There are going to be so many ups and downs on a monthly basis that you're just going to lose money over time. So just put it there, set it and forget it.
And the way they're asking this question, it looks like they may have a couple of funds, but they only want to fill the one bucket up before they work on the next bucket that's already established. Just divide it up. If you got two funds, it's 50-50 or 60-40. And whatever you determine that to be, like there's a lot of people that are doing two different funds that we talk to in our group. They'll do the S&P 500 and then one that does better. So they'll do 40% in the S&P and then 60% in the more aggressive one that does consistently outperform. You leave that alone unless you want to change the percentages, but we're not going to do 100% in one, leave the other one alone. We're always buying into these funds. If they go down, you're buying on a sale. So we don't change that. And I see a lot of people coaching, telling people to do what this guy is asking. Or they say, well, the market's hit down, so we don't want to contribute. No, that's when you want to buy. You want to buy on sale. Mutual funds, you want it to almost go down on payday when the money comes out, your paycheck goes in there. You want the market to be down. You're buying cheap and then let it grow over time. That's how you leapfrog into the future. It's not this constantly touching your 401k. Leave it alone, people. Leave it alone. Yeah. Seriously. Number three, Amanda, this one is for you. I put it in here. I'm interested too, even though I'm not going to do it. Amanda, I'm thinking about getting my real estate license. Classes will cost about $1,000. Any other upfront cost after that? Any other tips for a newbie real estate agent?
So I have no tips because it's not something that I actively do. And it's never been my plan to be an active real estate agent. I maintain a license for two reasons. One, as a referral agent. Mm-hmm. So I like to have the ability to tap into the resource of who are the best real estate agents in every market in the U.S. And I share that with anyone and everyone. So I do have a website for that.
And what is that website, by the way? Because everyone has probably heard it on the podcast. I don't think they realize it's you.
Yeah. So it's Choice Realty Connect. And I can match you with the best agents in the country or my brokers. coverage does anyway.
And I pop that.
I like the access to it because I move around the country all the time and I got really sick of trying to find a good one. And I've had my experience with not great ones. So
and I'm I think just it's really plug important, Amanda,
especially in the military community.
I want to plug Amanda a little bit because, you know, I pop that into a lot of the podcast. We probably should have explained that earlier. I've known her for a while. You can trust this girl. She's going to take care of you. And I'm not just trying to beef up her business or anything, but she will know who to send you to. Because if we send you somewhere bad, I mean, it doesn't look good for us. So she really does take that personally. And she works really hard. You hear how much she works all the time. So choicerealtyconnect.com. Why have we not pointed that out before?
I don't know. So yeah, so that's the one reason I do it, is so that I have access to the best agents anywhere in the country, because I move so often and people I know in the military move so often, and it's always, well, who can I trust in that new area? The other reason is so I can save real estate commission fees on my own transactions. So that's the only other reason.
So you're giving them that access, but yeah, you make a little bit off that. Yeah, we know that, but yeah, you're giving them access to that same information, which is amazing.
Right. So I don't do anything above and beyond that. I would say the upfront costs are, of course, the application fees for your specific state, the training courses. There's mandatory education for that. As a licensed attorney, I was able to skip the education portion because it's covered. But you do have, and the courses are costly, so you have an investment there. You have to take the exam. Depending on the cost of the exam, so there's a fee associated with the exam separate from the training. So you're talking training, exam fee, license application, and fee for your state. Those are upfront costs. And then once you do get your license, then you're going to want to find a brokerage to put your license under. You have to park it with a broker. And depending on that brokerage, you would have additional fees that you owe to that brokerage on a monthly basis for access to the MLS and access to all of their resources and the overhead for providing you with training and all that. So it can be hundreds of dollars a month for that. You're going to have costs associated with advertising, like business cards, any type of flyers or online advertising you do, things like that. So, I mean, it's not an insignificant investment. I know people are like, oh, everyone can become a real estate agent. It's super easy. Every Joe Schmo is becoming a real estate agent. That may be, but it's an investment. So unless you're going to be serious about it or you have a specific reason for doing it like I do, it may not pan out. And it doesn't pan out for a lot of people. There's a lot of time commitment involved, and you're probably not going to see a return on that investment for 9 to 12 months.
Wow. It does seem like everybody is a real estate agent.
That's the average time for someone to be successful in the offer. So make sure you have another source of income for at least the first year. Mm.
That sounds common with a lot of jobs, new jobs.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you're essentially your own boss, and your own indication of success or failure, right, is going to ride on you. That being said, you have to be an independent contractor under a brokerage, and you owe fees to that brokerage each month.
My perception of people wanting to be real estate agents, I see a lot of real estate agents that have nice vehicles. I think they're assuming it's a quick way to make money, lots of money. What am I correct on that?
That is a big assumption, because people here, or you've probably had experience yourself where you close a transaction on a home and you look at one of the line items is the commission to the real estate agents, and you're like, holy cow, they're getting thousands of dollars off of just one sale. But each sale is a lot of work, and you may only have one sale every 3 months. So is that enough to maintain your family on? Maybe, maybe not. And it's a commission, right? So yeah, if you sell a $1 million home, it can be great, but that's not the majority of what people are selling. It's these small starter homes that you have to have a higher volume on to be successful.
I relate this question to like flipping. I call this the HGTV effect.
Yeah.
Where people see all these real estate and flipping, and they just think it's that easy. And a lot of people fail at flipping. I know that for a fact. Yes. Yeah, be careful, people.
Yeah, I love this show on, I think it's the DIY network called First Time Flippers. It's hilarious to me.
Oh, I have not seen that.
My son can't even watch it because it's too painful for him.
Okay, now I need to go watch it.
It's crazy how they're like, yes, we expect this project to take 6 weeks and our budget is blah. And it, undoubtedly, it's always like instead of 6 weeks, it's like a year later, the project's half done and it's $50,000 over budget. You know?
Oh, my God. All right. One more question.
Yeah.
Please share the name of a few mutual funds you would suggest to invest in with a Roth IRA. Well, I think we almost touched on that with the first question.
Yeah.
Well, we like to coach that we always start with, and I did say always, Amanda, do start with the S&P 500 index fund. So almost, if you go to our favorite providers, they're the low-cost ones that we trust, Schwab, Fidelity, and Vanguard. All three of them, I don't think Vanguard has free ones. They're pretty close to free. But Schwab and Fidelity, as part of marketing to get business from Vanguard, they actually have free versions of these funds that you pay
Vanguard
no fees
or commissions. Yeah, because Vanguard used to be the least expensive one. So now Schwab and they're trying to steal them away.
It's like a gateway to get you into the other products that they have. So they have these free offerings for you. So you can start there. No fees, no commissions. Now, there might be an application fee or transfer. I don't know. To get you started. I don't know. Start there. And then once you get going and you start funding that properly, we coach 15% of your income. Then you can go
after you have your baby steps under control.
Right. This is baby step four. Thank you for pointing that out. But once you get there, then you can start learning. And we're starting to teach people how to look at this stuff in our Facebook group and on YouTube and even TikTok, apparently. We're showing people how you can discover what are the better funds. So the S&P 500 fund, index fund, is our base and anything that can outperform that on a consistent long-term level. That's all I look at. I don't look at anything like bond funds. Look, guys, bonds ain't making anything for years at this point. Stay out of anything with bonds. We don't like target date funds. They may be okay, but they do not outperform a simple index fund. And once again, the S&P 500 index fund, Amanda, is America's best and largest by market capitalization, the biggest companies of America. At the top, you have Amazon. You all probably heard of these companies. Amazon, Visa, MasterCard, Microsoft, Apple. I mean, it's the big guys. And they change this list, this index, every year to whatever the newer biggest companies are. You're only investing in success. It is literally the easiest way to invest long-term, people. And people can argue it all they want. It is America's best. I don't do international. That's just me. Do you do any international investing?
No.
I stay out of that. I stay out of bonds, anything with bonds in them. I stick with America's best stocks. And with all the investing I've done over time, if I had just done that in the beginning, Amanda, I'd be much better off now. I messed around with everything else I've read and I could have kept it simple. And what we try and do here, Amanda, is we're trying to give people the leapfrog up to where we're at. Don't get caught up in all these courses and crap I see on Facebook and everybody's trying to sell you something. It's literally that easy, people. It is. And you're always in America's best. I can't emphasize how easy it is. And I think people find it hard to believe it is that easy.
Yeah.
The problem is, here's the problem, people. No one's contributing. If you don't contribute, you can't make money. And if you touch that money that you've already invested, you're going backwards. You got to put it in there consistently, preferably from your paycheck, and don't touch it. And you'll be fine. 15% minimum. Anyway, stay out of debt. Sorry, I got a little soapbox there.
That's okay.
Well, we keep getting the questions, so I have to occasionally do that. Hey, so the topic today, I took a question and I turned it into a topic because it touches on a bunch of things in here. It relates to real estate, you. It relates to debt and the baby steps. So there's a lot going on in here. And actually came in through our Facebook page. I'm not trying to pick on this person, and I spoke with them about it, but I wanted to reformulate this and so everyone can learn. So here we go. Hi, Craig and Amanda. I'm on baby step two. Paid off my credit cards, working on my car payment, and then on to my student loans. The balances and minimum payments are, the car payment is $455 a month minimum at 5% with a $16,000 balance. The student loan is $1,200 minimum per month at a 4.5% loan, $57,000. So total right there is we're at $64,000 about total.
Okay.
Baby step two. I'm currently paused on baby step two per your recommendations, dumping all extra cash into savings. Before COVID, I was applying an extra $950 to my car payment. Really good. Here's the fun part. I'm reading it exactly, Amanda. Okay. I've been house shopping since November 2019, and I found a house and closed on it last Thursday on the 25th of June. Yay!
Nice job.
I used my savings to put 20% down. My interest rate is 3.1%. I tried to finance a 15-year due to COVID. I had to cut my pay from $1,000 weekly to $600 weekly for 8 weeks. I'm self-employed, but back to $1,000 weekly, $1,200 additional in other income. Anyway, the bank would not let me do a 15-year, and I was forced to do a 30-year. My current rent payment is $1,100 a month. I ended up with a payment of $637 towards my house payment, taxes, insurance, scheduled to pay off in 30 years, then use $437 towards debt snowball on top of the $950 once unpaused. They're talking about unpausing our plan. Mm-hmm. What would you have done? I know there was a lot in there, so, but I think you get the gist.
Yeah. I'm concerned that the bank wouldn't allow a 15-year term. That means that the bank doesn't believe they can afford the home in 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know this person's intent is to pay it off in 15 years. We know what the stats are on that when people have a 30-year mortgage and say they're going to pay it in 15 years. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting to have a new house. I'm glad they put down the 20%. They're saving the cost of private mortgage insurance or PMI. So that's great news. Sounds like there's an additional amount of money that will be available once this COVID-19 passes. They're making the smart choice of stashing that cash for now and not doing additional payments towards things.
Except a house.
Except for the house. But the one thing that I do like is that the house payment is lower than what they were paying in rent.
Yeah, $437 less. Yeah.
Oh, so the house payment, taxes, and insurance. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit cheaper, but that's not the full picture, because when you own a house, you also have to be putting money aside for all of those unexpected large expenses. Mm-hmm. So I would, that $437 should be going into a separate account for household repairs. I mean, look at what happened to you, Craig. You had to replace something. It was what, like $15,000?
And I did a roof a couple of years ago as well, because I've been in this house long enough that the builder stock roof had to be replaced. Now I got a 30-year roof, a better one, better quality, but that's still $15,000 for that, $14,000 for an HVAC. We're talking $29,000 the last 4 or 5 years. On top of all the regular maintenance. So, and this is a newer house built in 2004.
Yeah.
So we're not talking, it's not that old, but things do need to be replaced. It's just normal. Here's what I told them the same exact thing. I spoke with them via chat. They were excited, so I didn't want to burst their bubble. But I said, reiterating the baby steps, that we should not have bought the house.
Right.
I know they save money, because people will home in on, well, I'm saving $437. I actually get that message a lot. Yeah. Should I buy a house so I can lower my costs? Because I hate wasting money on rent. Everyone focuses on rent. They feel like they're wasting money, but they forget about what you just said about all the other things. You own the house now. You got to maintain this sucker, and you do not know what's going to happen.
I'm also annoyed that they have a car balance that's $16,733, and they had enough in savings to put 20% down.
Yeah, I was gonna That's what I was going to get at is with these baby steps. Baby step one is $1,000 from a baby emergency fund. Baby step two, they said they're on baby step two. They had all of this savings, but they were saving it because of COVID, the way we planned it. But they used it as a 20% down on a house. So that money was meant to go back through these baby steps. You have a lot of debt. The way the coaching works is you do the baby steps. Before you purchase a house, you go through baby steps one, two, and three. You have to have your emergency fund, fully funded emergency fund, in place before you purchase a home. That's how it works. So what we've done here is we did baby step two. We were pausing per our recommendation. And then Dave Ramsey came out with the same recommendation a couple weeks after we did. That money was for in case of an emergency. We are now starting to hit the emergency pretty hard here in the financial world, not COVID.
The other argument I hear is people saying, well, I want to have equity. I want to build up equity in a house that I own. I honestly believe that home prices are going to go down in the near term before they ever go back up. Yep. So I think, to what you said, Craig, I think this, I know it's an exciting time to get a new house, so I don't want to harp on this too much, but I think this was a terrible idea.
Yeah. We should have had, you have over $70,000 in debt. That isn't going away. By the way, that student loan is not forgivable under bankruptcy. You have a car payment. It looks like that 20% was not a lot if her payment was $600 some dollars. But still, that money was for COVID and for emergencies that could happen if you lose your job. We don't know. Things are getting worse. Depending on who you want to listen to, it's hard. But the whole point is we have no vaccine. We don't know how long this is going to go. And that's what this was for. And now we've now taken on a liability that really concerns me. And I, like I said, I don't want to burst someone's bubble. It's probably their first house. I feel bad, but I am a coach. And I have to tell you, this is what we do. And there's a reason for that. And I just hope that with that much debt in this house, we haven't put ourselves in a situation where 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work. And you're self-employed. That concerns me.
Poor.
Right. And I did tell them about the 15-year thing. So if the bank wouldn't, the bank is pretty lenient. If even they wouldn't do it, that concerns me because they looked at more things than what you're telling us. Yeah. So I don't want to take away the fun. You really need to be cautious. You really need to work on a debt and really fine tune every dollar that's coming in. What it's going to do from this point on, because you're on a tightrope. Am I overstating this, Amanda?
Nope. But I mean, what's done is done at this point.
Absolutely.
You can't get out of it.
It closed last week.
So full speed ahead.
Right. But 9 times out of 10, this situation does not end well. You're on a tightrope, but you can do it. You're going to really have to cut back and really focus on what we're going to do from this point forward. I like what you just said, Amanda, about you need to start putting that extra money into a house fund, because I don't know how old this house is. I don't know what the situation with the furnace, your dishwasher, your refrigerator, that stuff costs
your
money.
Your Samsung appliances.
Oh, my God. I need to post pictures about how bad my refrigerator has gotten. I have ice everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. It still works. But there's ice accumulating everywhere.
Yeah.
But it looks good,
it's
Amanda.
It's a Dave Ramsey-ish approach.
Yeah, that's what this is. So I'm wanting to use this for other people because I hear a lot of people, they're in rent, but they want to buy a house. They think they're saving money. That's not necessarily always the case. Trust me. Sometimes renting is better. There's times, Amanda, I wish I was renting.
Because
I don't have to worry about this Samsung refrigerator. I can pass it on to someone else. The HVAC, people don't realize.
Or a geyser in your backyard.
people don't realize there's a lot of cost involved with a house.
Yep.
So
thousands of dollars a year.
You can make more money in the stock market. We've talked about this before. It is historically proven. You can make more money by investing in the mutual funds, as we teach, than your real estate, unless you're very strategic with it and focus on it, especially when you're replacing stuff. I mean, that just, anyway. I don't want to get Amanda on a rant with that one. That was from another show. All right. So I thought that was good to use as a topic, a learning thing for a lot of people, because it's a very common situation. All right. Yeah. Savvy Savings with Amanda. What do we have today?
Seven more ways to be a savvy shopper. So part two from our seven ways to be a savvy shopper that we shared earlier this week.
Awesome. All right. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
This podcast is sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-uppers, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money, Craig and Amanda. And we have 7 more ways to be a savvy shopper. Here's a little SEO thing with websites and posting these podcasts, Amanda. Whenever you put a number to a list, that always does better.
Yeah.
So putting 7 more does even better than last week's 7.
Yeah. Lucky number 7.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
Well, number 1. Consider bargains carefully. Is it really a good deal, or is somebody trying to upsell you or persuade you to buy something you don't need? We've talked about this before, how a lot of retailers will mark up the price just so that they can show that they're then marking it down to what they would have originally sold it to you for anyway. But you're mentally thinking, oh, I'm saving so much money.
Kohl's.
JCPenney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Learn to recognize a sales pitch and resist it.
Oh, man. That's a loaded one.
Yeah, why don't you share?
Timeshares.
Oh, well, that's pretty easy to recognize.
Well, I see. Okay, there's so many ads out there. I don't know if it's because everybody's at home now. I know you don't watch a lot of TV. I watch it in passing. I watch a lot of financial crap. I'm a geeky about this stuff, but I'm seeing more and more ads for things that I would have never thought I would want to mail order, like kitty litter. How many ads have I seen about having shopping for kitty litter and the sales pitch that they're doing for it? I mean, I'm not a cat person, but I guess it appeals to them.
Yeah.
There's 3 different companies currently you can have subscription to have kitty litter delivered to your home now.
Yeah.
And they sell it. Or those home warranty commercials. I won't use the company, but they make it sound like if you don't get this, you're going to be financially devastated. And that's actually not how these home warranties work. That's a whole nother.
Yeah. Yeah. And the timeshare thing really annoys me. My in-laws have a timeshare, and every time they want to go and book the week that they have, you know, points for,
yeah,
there's nothing available. So I'm like, why? What's the point of even having these points that you can use if you can never really get the time you want?
I know we've hit on timeshares a lot, but I do need to point out there are some that are good. All these are bad. Like Disney is not a bad one.
Okay. Well, it is now.
Now you can't use it. But Disney, yeah, that's a whole different thing. Like I've even heard Dave Ramsey talk about it. He says Disney's different. He even has mentioned Marriott is different, apparently.
Yeah.
So he's not against those, but there's some big companies that's all they do is timeshares.
Blue Green.
I think that's one. It's not off the top of my head. I can't come on, but not all of them are bad. And I just don't believe in timeshares. If I want to travel,
they're definitely not a good investment. So if you're going to use it, that's fine. But just consider it. That's your budget for vacationing every year. It's not a good investment.
No. If I want to go somewhere, I just buy my ticket and get a hotel. And I'm a savvy shopper in doing that. Anyway.
All right, next, spend cash. We've talked about this before.
Absolutely.
And We've talked about the envelope system so that you can see yourself parting with your money. It's very visual. It's very tactile. You can feel the money in your hand. You feel it leaving your hand. And when you do that, it is much more emotional, that sting. And it can certainly help you from overextending yourself. If you don't have cash in your wallet to spend, how can you buy what you think you need?
It actually affects your brain. There's a whole scientific part of this where it hurts. It hurts when you know the cash is going, but the card. There's an order of pain with methods of payment, and cash is the worst.
Number four, think through the lifetime of your purchase. So will this purchase become clutter? Will you be able to go on using it for a long time? Can you do without it for now? Where are you going to put it in your house? Is there a home for it already? Is it really something that you need?
Are you talking about my Sega Dreamcast that I have here that I bought in 2003 or four?
Yes, that's one great example.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember that not all purchases are objects. So a restaurant meal, a gym membership, and a monthly cell phone bill are all purchases that you should evaluate carefully. Scrutinize anything with a monthly bill or monthly payment with special care, since a few dollars a month can quickly turn into many dollars a year.
We've hammered that so many times. I get messages every now and then. People review their credit cards. They finally go through the list after we tell them over and over again, and they cannot believe how many memberships and those little micros, like those little $4.99s are on there.
Yeah.
That crap adds up. You can usually find $100 to $200 quickly to cut out your budget by just looking at your credit card bill.
Yeah. Number six, figure in all costs when considering a purchase. So include taxes, subscriptions, shipping, upkeep, and your own time to use or set up whatever you're purchasing. Mm.
They love to bury that stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Ask for a better price. Not all prices are negotiable, but it doesn't cost you anything to ask. Simply asking, is this the best price you can offer, can often bring the price down. But depending on the situation, you may want to haggle a bit. I think
you're the queen of that.
Yeah, I almost always ask for a discount.
Yeah, I need to be better about that. I don't shop hardly at all anymore, but
I even ask for discounts at drive-thrus.
Really?
Yeah.
So give me an example. That's awesome.
Well, I'll ask, do you have a military discount? And almost always I say yes.
There you go. Like we have a lot of first responder listeners.
Yep. Or teachers, a lot of them. Yep. And you know what? I've even run into it. Like I once went to this Froyo place and I asked if they had a military discount and said, no, but we can give you a discount.
Oh, no, that makes sense now. Now that you say that, I'm like, oh, yeah, duh. So,
you can ask them, do you have a teacher's discount? Do you have a student discount? Do you have a first responder discount? Many people are in categories that would qualify for. Do you have a AARP discount? You know,
I was going to get it.
Discount, like Goodwill has a senior discount, you know.
Wasn't it in our first 10 episodes I talked about that? Because when I turned 55, I found a website. It was something about discounts 55 or something like that. There was a lot of discounts I didn't realize exist if you're over 50. And they list every company from McDonald's to Burger King to Subway. Things I didn't even know existed, and it has what age you can start getting the discount.
They don't put these on the menu or anything. No, you have to ask.
No, you have to ask. You know what? We could do a whole Savvy Savings just on the common places at what age you can get a discount, what you get. I was shocked. And they don't advertise it. You're correct. You have to know to ask. That was a good Savvy Savings coming up for the old people like me.
Number seven.
So that was good.
All right.
Thank you very much, Amanda, for your time. You're awesome. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com.
Yes.
It's Amanda. She'll get you a good person to take care of your realty needs. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.